Welcome to the Product Growth Podcast, practical product and growth intelligence for people building in India. I'm Mira.
And I'm Arjun. Today we're getting into AI chatbot commerce trust crisis threatens Indian e-commerce checkout, daily brief, 18th of August, 2026. Let's dig in. Okay, three things you need to know before we get into the full brief. Navi just posted a ₹466 crore loss chasing UPI scale. Upgrad is finally printing real EBITDA after 3 years of cutting, and AI chatbots are apparently terrible at selling things. Mira, let's start with the checkout trust problem because I think it's the most counterintuitive story today.
It really is. So the ET Tech piece is about agentic AI at e-commerce checkout. The pitch was let a bot handle product discovery recommendations, the whole purchase flow, and consumers are just not following. They're skeptical, they're abandoning, they're not converting.
Which is wild, because every platform has been betting on this for 2 years now.
Right? And here's the signal that actually matters for builders. The platforms seeing real returns from AI are the ones using it in the back end. Logistics optimization, inventory prediction, fraud detection, not the ones putting a chatbot in front of the buy button.
So the problem isn't AI, it's where you're pointing it.
Exactly. Indian consumers, especially at higher ticket sizes, still want to feel like they're making the decision. The moment a bot feels like it's nudging you to buy, trust collapses. And once trust collapses at checkout, you don't just lose that transaction, you lose the session and often the user.
That connects directly to something else in today's brief, which is the insurance story. AI cutting ops costs in underwriting and claims. Same pattern, right? Back office, not customer facing.
That's the through line today, honestly. The ET Tech report on InsurTech says AI embedded in underwriting, fraud detection, claims processing, that's where adoption is immediate. The compliance risk is lower, the ROI is faster, and nobody's asking an AI chatbot whether their claim will be approved. You push AI where humans don't want to be, not where customers need to feel held.
Okay, let's get into Navi now. Arrest 466 crore loss, quadrupled year on year. That's a big number. What's the actual story here?
So the losses going up fourfold is the headline, but the context is the UPI infrastructure push. Navi is spending to build the rails and the market presence, and they're projecting a profitability turnaround in FY27. The question every fintech builder should be asking is, do UPI unit economics actually work at scale? Because UPI MDR is effectively zero. You're making money on adjacent products, on credit, on float, on data.
So you're buying distribution with losses and hoping the monetization layer follows.
That's the bet. And it's not an irrational bet. It's the same bet Paytm made, the same bet PhonePe is making. But ₹466 crore is real money, and FY27 is 1 year away. If the pivot to profitability doesn't show up in Q2 or Q3 FY27 numbers, that projection starts looking like a story they're telling themselves.
For someone building in fintech right now, what's the actual lesson?
Don't build a UPI-first business and assume scale solves the revenue problem. Build the credit layer, the insurance layer, the savings product, whatever sits on top of the payment before you need it. Because once you've burned 466 crore, your investors want a path, not a promise.
All right, Upgrad. This one actually made me feel something. Reese 123 crore EBITDA, losses down 52%, gross revenue over 2,000 crore, 3 straight years of halving losses.
And the EBITDA jumping 8x is the number that deserves attention, because gross revenue crossing Rs 2,000 crore is great, but EBITDA going from basically nothing to 123 crore tells you the cost structure is genuinely changing, not just the top line.
And the Your Story piece attributes it specifically to AI-driven operating efficiency.
Which is exactly the back office AI point we made earlier. Upgrad isn't replacing instructors with chatbots. They're using AI for content adaptation, course delivery at scale, student support routing, so one instructor's content reaches 10 times the learners without 10 times the support headcount. That's where the EBITDA comes from.
It's an edtech company finally doing what edtech promised it would do in 2015.
10 years late, but the unit economics are real now. Net loss still at Rs 130 crore, so not fully there. But the trajectory is the story. 3 consecutive years of more than halving losses is a discipline signal, not just a market signal.
Okay, Google buying Spirit Airlines data for $10 million. On first read, this sounds like a weird one-off. Why is it in the brief?
Because of what they're buying, employee emails, Microsoft Teams messages, spreadsheets, calendars, operations, and marketing data. This isn't buying a user database. This is buying real enterprise workflow data to train models on how actual businesses operate.
So Google is pricing real operational data at $10 million for a mid-size airline and then using it to make their enterprise AI smarter.
Right? And for every SaaS founder building in India who thinks their data moat is theoretical, this is Google telling you the price is real. If you control enterprise workflow data, scheduling data, communications data, you have something Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI will pay for or replicate. That's pricing power.
It also tells you something about what foundation models still lack.
Exactly. Generic internet data is saturated. The frontier now is messy, real-world operational data, procurement workflows, logistics handoffs, sales call transcripts. Indian SaaS founders sitting on that kind of data inside their product, that's an asset, not just a feature.
Let's do the rapid round now. PharmEasy's parent, API Holdings, debt-free after repaying Re 50 crore.
Sold more of their ThyroCare stake to get there. The headline is debt-free, but the real signal is that the unleveraging story of 2026 is as important as the growth story was in 2021. If you're a health tech operator, your investors are watching cash burn metrics and debt ratios, not just GMV.
Cadence using AI to cut semiconductor chip design timelines.
EDA workflows are notoriously slow. Cadence compressing those cycles means chip design iteration gets faster, which matters enormously for anyone in deep tech building on custom silicon. First movers, who lock in design partnerships, now will be ahead before incumbents retool their workflows.
EV range anxiety. Turns out it's not about the battery.
It's about not knowing if the charger at the end of your detour actually works. The Your Story piece is clear. The blocker is information, not electrons. Real-time charger status, wait times, operational reliability data. That's the product gap in India's EV infrastructure right now.
AI wildlife imagery. Conservationists are flagging this.
Synthetic images making wild animals look cuddly, driving people to approach them, fueling exploitation. If you're a consumer app using AI-generated nature imagery, disclose it. Regulatory pushback is coming, and you don't want to be the example.
And Alibaba selling Lingxi Games for over $2 billion to TrustStar.
Alibaba continuing to shed non-core assets. For gaming builders, it signals consolidation at the top. Assets are moving to players who are focused, not conglomerates diversifying. Specialist buyers are winning these deals.
So the one thing I'd tell someone to actually do today, based on all of this.
Audit where you've deployed AI in your product. If it's customer-facing and conversion-dependent, look at your trust signals and your drop-off data. If it's back office and operational, double down. The data from checkout, from insurance, from edtech, all points the same direction. AI earns its returns quietly, not loudly. That's the short version. There's more depth in the full piece on productgrowth.in.
Thanks for listening to the Product Growth Podcast. Keep building, and we'll catch you in the next one.